I'm sure you've all heard of the Greek word charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, which means grace, right? It's the word for grace. Well, this word is encaptured in the word for thanksgiving or thankfulness or to thank God. It's called Eucharist or Eucharisteo, Eucharist, Eucharistia, and Eucharistos. If a person is Eucharistos, they're a thankful, grateful person. To have Eucharistia is the quality of being grateful. And then one of the places where Paul uses thanks be to God, he actually uses the word grace. Charis be to God. Grace be to God. You ever notice that when people come to the table, they will often say, who's going to say grace? You remember that statement? They'll say, who's going to say, somebody say grace? But the word is to give God back thanksgiving. To do Eucharisteo, or is to show that one is under obligation. This is the Greek definition. To be thankful for something, to feel obligated, and then to send thanksgiving. Walter Bauer did his lexicon, his Greek lexicon, by searching Greek words and what they were like in other Greek literature, other Greek letters. How did people use it in the time of Jesus? How did people use these Greek words? And he found this statement from a letter sent from one city to another. It said, the people of our city will never stop being grateful, Eucharisteo, stop being grateful, and doing whatever they can for the people of Athens. The people of our city will never stop being grateful. Now there's thankfulness, to be able to express appreciation, blessings, to give thanks, to express thanks. One example in the New Testament, of course, is for food. People often, Jesus took food, and when he took the bread, what did he do? He gave thanks to God. He blessed God's name. He thanked God for it. Today we think of asking blessing on the food itself, but Jesus actually gave God thanks for the food he ate. Here's the wrong kind of thanks. Let me show you an example of the wrong kind of thanks. It's in Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 11. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself. He said, God, I thank you. That's the wrong kind of thanks. That I'm not like other people. Swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here. He saw that tax collector standing close to the temple. I fast twice in a week, he said. I pay tithes of all I get. So Jesus' example of wrong kind of thanksgiving. But the tax collector standing some distance away was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating on his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I'm the sinner. So these are the words. Now, one of them is to be Eucharistos. To be a person of Eucharistos means you're a thankful person. It means being grateful and thankful as a person inside yourself. Here's what Paul wrote about this. Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed you were called into one body, and be Eucharistos, be thankful. Now, in the Old Testament, you know the Old Testament was translated from Hebrew into Greek. Here was a proverb that was translated, and they used the word Eucharistos for this. But the proverb is in chapter 11 of Proverbs and verse 16. The New American Standard reads, a gracious woman attains honor, and ruthless men attain riches. Now, the word ruthless men, it has to do with men of power, men of strength, and it has to do it in a bad way. They're not good people. These are not good people. These are people who are aggressive. They're going to take what they can, wherever they can. Let me read that in the New English translation. A generous woman gains honor. They use the word generous. The Greek translation into the Septuagint said, Eucharistos, the Eucharistos woman gains honor. She's a grateful, thankful, appreciative, generous, warm-hearted, big-hearted person, and she gains honor. But ruthless men, ruthless, evil men, just grab wealth. This is another translation. It's called the New International Reader's Version of the Bible. It goes like this. A woman who has a kind heart gains respect, but men who are not kind gain only wealth. People who are ruthless gain only wealth. So she's a woman of grace, you see. And this grace, this Eucharistos, she's a woman of graciousness, of big-heartedness, of love and thankfulness. That's the kind of person she is. All right, so let's talk a little bit about New Testament statements. You see this phrase in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. And that's the word charis. That's grace. Grace be to God. This is the return of grace back to God. You know, Jesus, when he picked up food, he was thankful for it. Even on the night, they call, you know what they call, the most churches call what we call the Lord's Supper and taking, you know what they call it? They call it the Eucharist. The Eucharist, the thankfulness, the thanksgiving. Because Jesus was thankful for the food. And when he took the cup, he gave thanks. When he took the bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples, he gave thanks. You see, remember that? He gave thanks for that. You'll see that in Luke chapter 22, verses 17 through 19. In 1 Corinthians, the same way. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. And when he had given thanks, Paul wrote, he broke it. He took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke the bread. Yeah, Jesus took loaves in John chapter 6 and verse 11. You remember he took loaves. He's going to feed these people. He took loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed those loaves among the other people, likewise also the fish. Jesus was even thankful that God heard his prayers. Did you ever thank God for your prayer, for hearing your prayers? I thank you. This is what Jesus said. He said, so they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I thank you. So God hears our prayers, and we thank him for those hearings. God's gift of Christ himself. You thank God for God's gift, his inexpressible gift that we can give. You know, people get healed, and sometimes they are thankful, and sometimes they are not. And listen to this in Luke chapter 17. He runs across a group of people with leprosy, remember? And I think it's leprosy. They hear it. Now one of them, and he heals them. They go your way, you're healed. Now one of them, when he saw he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face and feet, giving thanks to him, to Jesus. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 people cleansed? But none. Where are the others? But the 9, where are they? There were 10 of them cleansed. Only one person gave thanks. You know, that's a really egregious. It's sinful not to give thanks to God. You give thanks for God's peace. You know, when the Apostle Paul, I always very, very thankful that we've had peace in this country. I don't know if you are, if you give thanks to God for being in a country where we have not had to run for our lives with soldiers coming down the street shooting at our houses and bombs hitting in, you know, bazookas and all that coming in, or tanks rolling over our cars and we're all running for our lives. You can see that sometimes happened in other countries. But I'm very grateful. The Apostle Paul, when he was before the authorities, Paul had summoned Tertullius, and he had been summoned, right? Paul was summoned, and Tertullius began to accuse him, saying to the governor, since we have through you attained much peace. Now Paul is now trying to, and since by your province reforms are being carried out for this nation, we acknowledge this in every way and everywhere, most excellent Felix, with all thankfulness. This is Acts chapter 24, verses 2 and 3. We acknowledge it with all thankfulness. It's nice to be thankful for the blessings we receive. There are many, many circumstances. We're supposed to be thankful in everything. Let me just read you some New Testament scriptures on thanksgiving. Paul writes to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. First of all, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all people. Men and women. It says men here, but it means men and women. For kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in godliness and in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires men to be saved, all men to be saved, and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So we have to give thanks for whom? Our leaders, our governors. And that we give them thanks not because they're doing such a great job, not because they're always honest, not because they're always honorable. We give thanks and we pray for them so that they can leave us alone and not bother us. So we can lead a life that's godly and we cannot be interfered with when we want to keep the Sabbath, when we want to do God's holy days, when we study the Bible and preach the Bible. We can do it without interference from them. That's why we pray for them. We pray for them and we give thanks for them. I'm thankful that even though some policemen are, you know, scoundrels in their personal life, I'm glad that they are out here protecting and that they will step in and fire at a criminal who may be firing at us. I'm very grateful for that. Paul writes, 1 Thessalonians, you've read this many times, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will concerning you in Christ Jesus, in everything. And then he says in Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks for all things. Now think about that, all things. I don't care what your circumstance is, you got to find something to give thanks about. Do you have eyes to see? Do you have ears to hear? Well, look around. And I think I've told you the story of my friend Eddie Kessler years ago, and he was in Oklahoma. He had a bad day. He was a salesman, and he had a bad day. He'd gone over to try to sell, you know, he was selling petroleum products, and nobody bought. He went to different service stations, different places and businesses, and he didn't have many sales. Now, he's all discouraged, feeling sorry for himself, and he went into a stop at a service station, went into a restroom, and he was standing there, and all of a sudden he looked, and there were two men at the urinal next to him. And one man was helping the other man, unzipping his pants and so. And then finally, Eddie looked, and the man next to him had no arms. No arms. From the shoulders down, he had no arms. They were cut off here. No arms. And then he started to ask this guy, You have no arms? He said, no, you know, this guy's my helper. He does everything for me. I have no arms. I can't go to the restroom. Can you imagine if you had no arms whatsoever? And he said, here I was feeling sorry for myself. I came out and got in my car, opened the door, and I realized how grateful I am. I may have had a bad day in sales, but I have arms. I have gratefulness. You've had a bad day in different things, but you have many things to be blessed, to be thankful for. Yes. Yeah, it's, you know, sometimes thankfulness can be an antidote to evil things around us even. Paul writes this interesting statement here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4. There must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which is not fitting. So what's the antidote to this bad talk, coarse jesting, and that's not fitting? But rather giving of thanks. You know, when you think about all the things, you want to talk to people about all the things you're thankful for, it sort of puts an end to bad talk and evil talk and coarse jesting. Paul was thankful. He was thankful for his blessings on the church. And he said, listen to this, Romans 1, verse 8. I thank my God. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. The faith you hold is being proclaimed. And I thank God for you all. Colossians 1, verses 3 and 4. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. He's talking about brethren. We give thanks. You know, you give thanks for every brother, every sister in the church. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and this, and the love which you have for all the saints. It's a beautiful thing when church members have love for one another, and you thank God for their love for one another. Ephesians 1 and verses 15 and 16. For this reason, too, I too, having heard of the faith of in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you. Giving thanks for church members. Ministers should do it. I should do more of it, thanking God. I'm so grateful. I come in here, and Gary Wallen is here, and Harold is already prepared and ready, and Jennifer is ready, and Cor Grieve is doing his part, and different ones are here, and here's Karen up there, and Lewis, and everybody's doing their part. I'm so grateful and thankful. We have such people of dedication. Dedication to do what they can. Giving thanks for them. First Thessalonians, listen to these phrases. Listen to Paul the way he writes this. First Thessalonians 1, verses 2 and through 4. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. When you make mention of God's people, that you thank God for them. Thank you, God, that you've called them. Thank you, God, that you've converted them. Thank you, God, that you have your spirit in them. Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope. Now there, the faith, hope, and love, those three things. Remember those things Paul talks about? Your work of faith, your labor of love, your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved of God, his choice of you. We always give thanks for all of you, he says. Yeah, he did too. He joined in helping so that thanks may be given to many people on behalf of this favor. Now, he was in trouble at one point. Paul was in severe trouble. God brought him out of this trouble. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he's asking you, join me in thanking God for my blessings. You know, it's a wonderful thing. Join me, he's saying, I've been blessed. Join me in giving thanks to God so God gets thanks from you for me, for all the things he's done for me. Did you ever ask anybody, would you give thanks to God because God has blessed me in this way? Thank God for me. Thank God for his blessings to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. When grace and forgiveness and and God's blessings of talent and ability. God's graces by are not just forgiveness of sins. God's grace is talent and ability and his great his favors that he gives. Philippians 1, he gives thanks for the fellowship. This church, no church helped Paul spread the gospel more than the Philippian church. He had a lot of churches. The Corinthians were suspicious of Paul. He said, no matter what I do, my arms are open wide, but you're holding back. But the Philippian church at Philippi, they really helped him. He says this to them, writing in chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. First day. For the first time you heard about it, you participated in the gospel of spreading it, and I'm so grateful for you. You see it in chapter 2. He so gives thanks for God calling them, election, their election, their calling, their sanctification. You see that in chapter 2, verse 13. For spiritual blessings, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share the inheritance of the saints in light. We give thanks to God for that. And we saw already we're supposed to be thankful. You know, there are many things, many ways we can be thankful. You think about every day and everything that you do. You know, I'm grateful. I have been blessed beyond what I deserve many, many times over. You know, I see people that, you know, talk to clients periodically and they've had a bad upbringing. They've had a tough life. Their father was not nice to them. Their mother was hateful to them, or this was happened to them. And, you know, it's sad. And it's not because they deserve bad at all. You know, it's like the lottery, you know, you're born to somebody. How did you get born to who you were born to? If you had a good mother, you're grateful. If you had a good father, be thankful. Most of us, you know, we've had decent fathers. Now, you know, most of our parents were not perfect. Let's face it. There are no perfect parents, and you're not a perfect parent either. Don't kid yourself. Don't go away. I wish my parents had been as good a parent as me. Well, maybe you're not as good as you think. Your kid's going to have, you know, go into a psychotherapy thing and tell the psychologist, let me tell you about my mom or my dad, you know, what they were like, you know. So, there are no perfect parents, no perfect people. But, you know, if you had decent parents, I'm not saying perfect, I'm saying decent. If they were decent parents, and they fed you, and they cared for you, and they really did want the best for you, even though sometimes they were misguided about the way they went about it, you know, you've got to give thanks. You've got to be very grateful. I could tell you some stories that would just depress you the entire day long if I were to tell you how bad some kids have been treated. You just cannot even imagine it. So, you know, we have 14 levels of abuse in the state of California, recognized by the state of California. Do you know that? 14 different levels by abuse. And abuse comes in various categories. There's sexual abuse, there's physical abuse, there's neglect, there is sex trafficking abuse. Sex trafficking, they grab somebody and send them out. There are very various kinds of abuses and various levels of those abuses. And kids who are abused before they are 6 just have a terrible time ever getting over it. Just terrible, especially if it's severe physical or mental abuse. Just terrible time. Many of them become violent or commit suicide. Level 14 kids are it's the state of California is kind of shut, you know, we don't even have the funds to help them. So if you've had good parents, if you've been blessed with decent health, if you've been never had to miss meals that you never miss, that you didn't want to miss, give thanks. Give thanks for all things in every way. Give thanks for each other. Give thanks for being in a church that loves you and cares for you, a church that wants you to understand this book, wants you to understand it, wants you to understand it and appreciate it, wants you to pray based on it. Give thanks for that. Yes. Listen to how Paul talked about this in 2 Corinthians. He's picking up a collection. The poor saints at Jerusalem needed money. He's picking up a collection. Listen to how he puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, thanking them for being so generous. Beginning at verse 11, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11. You will be enriched in everything for all your generosity, liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Now think about somebody. Here are church members that were very poor. They couldn't afford much. And here Paul is bringing this and having Titus and some of his other helpers bringing it into Jerusalem and helping these people. And when they get this, they give thanks to God. So he's saying to these Corinthians, your generosity is producing thanksgiving to God. How good is that? For the ministry of this service, I'm reading verse 12 now, is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Many thanksgivings. Everybody who's touched by this generosity is going to be giving thanks. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality, that is your generosity, of your contribution to them and to all. While they also, by prayer on behalf of you, your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace which is in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God. Because inside each of you is the Holy Spirit of God. And when you know somebody is hurting, you pray for them, you would help them, you would give to them to supply basic needs. Yes. So, Paul, always giving thanks to the Father, always giving thanks on behalf of the brethren, thanking God always, who leads us in triumph, Paul said. We always give thanks to God because God is leading the way. God is gracious. And you know, he acknowledged a few very special people. Here's one. Romans 16, verse 4. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risk their own necks. To whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now you remember, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. So he went out, he was ministering to all the churches of the Gentiles. But Paul was in deep trouble, and they risked their lives to help him. He said, I give them thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles are thanking them. And you know, if Priscilla and Aquila walked in here today, I would walk up and say, thanks. Thank you for what you did for the Apostle Paul. Because had you not helped him at that time, we might not have had some of the letters that we have as holy scriptures in our New Testament. Wherever you can, whatever you do, be a gracious, thankful person.